Good morning.
Good morning, Glory.
Good morning, sons and daughters of the Most High God. Morning. People just walking out from the front to the back and leaving, I guess. They're all following Wayne, the band leader, so I don't know what that means, but only at Rock Springs Church will you see that. Let me invite you, if you would, to take your Bible and find Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs chapter 9. We've taken a couple of weeks to look at this thing called wisdom. And would you agree that the world needs more wisdom?
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. Well, that was quick. Y'all enjoyed that way too much. Godly wisdom. More godly wisdom. It seems that the world's in short supply of that these days. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 1. Proverbs 9, verse 1. It says, wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out 7 pillars. She has prepared her meat and mixed her wine. She has also set the table. She has sent out her maids, and she calls from the highest point of the city, let all who are simple come in here. She says to those who lack judgment, come eat my food and drink the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways, and you will live. Walk in the way of understanding. Whoever corrects a mocker invites insult. In other words, if you correct somebody who's prone to cruel sarcasm, you're going to wind up with more cruel sarcasm. Mm-hmm. If you correct someone who's not living in godly wisdom, it's going to come back on you. They're going to have some rebuke back your way. So it's a warning here. If you find somebody and they act like an idiot, you know, don't confront them, right? Just walk away. Walk away from it because nothing good's going to come from it. Whoever rebukes a wicked man incurs abuse. In other words, they're just going to abuse you right back because they don't have wisdom is what it's saying. Do not rebuke a mocker or he will hate you. But if you rebuke a wise man, he will love you. Why is that? Because he accepts it. He realizes, yeah, I did. We all, have those moments. And people need to rebuke all of us and say, look, that was a duh moment you had there. Let's not do that again. And a wise man will say, you're right, that was a moment. I shouldn't have done that. But a fool, as the scripture says here, an ignorant person, someone that's unwise, will actually throw it back on you and say it's all your fault. Mm-hmm. Instruct a wise man and he will be wiser still. Teach a righteous man and he will add to his learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Now remember, we translate, when we put our sunglasses on, S-O-N, glasses, the Son, Jesus Christ the Son, when we look at scriptures through the lens of Jesus Christ, some of the words change for us, right? Like we said last week. So put your sunglasses on, and where it says the fear of the Lord, it's not talking about being afraid of God and what he's going to do to you. The word fear means reverence or worship. Honor. So the honor of the Lord, the worship of the Lord, because we know we don't fear God because God's wrath has been taken away. His wrath was taken into Jesus Christ, so we don't fear him anymore. So looking through our sunglasses, we would say the worship of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. We talked about this last week. The Holy One, the Holy Spirit who works in our life, he's the one that brings us wisdom. He gives us wisdom to live this day, the next day, and the next. He gives us the wisdom to say things we should say and to not say things we shouldn't say. For through me your days will be many, and years will be added to your life. Now, how can the scripture promise that years will be added to your life if you follow wisdom? Well, a classic example, in my subdivision this past week, a few days ago, there was a gentleman who pulled into the subdivision and was exceeding the speed limit of 25, which is not unusual in my subdivision. It's like a racetrack. And he got to a little curve in the road, and he reached over, he said.
God's talking to you.
You sure it's me he's talking to? Maybe it's you. How do you know it's me? Why blame that on me? He told you to tell me? What's up with that?
I don't know, but it's carrying on.
So this gentleman drives in the subdivision. He's going faster than the speed limit. He said his phone fell to the floorboard, so he decided to reach over and get his phone out of the floorboard. Going 25 on the curb, he flipped his car upside down. Blocked the subdivision for hours. Now, wisdom would tell you, if your phone falls on the floorboard, right? It's okay to wait till you get to the house to retrieve it. Or it's okay to pull over and stop for just a moment and retrieve it. Or it's not that important. It's a telephone, right? If your child falls on the floorboard, right? That's a different story, right? Your child should be in restraints, right? Car seat or whatever, right? So your child shouldn't be falling on the floorboard. Phone on the floorboard, that's one thing. Car on the floor, a child on the floorboard, that's another thing. Wisdom teaches you that, right? Obviously, this person hasn't learned wisdom about driving.
I bet he did.
You think so? When his insurance company has a conversation with him, he'll grow wiser. He'll grow poorer too, right?
And I'm sure
they probably won't cover the phone. Well, that's why the scripture can promise. If you use wisdom, you'll live longer and you'll pay less insurance.
We'll be healthier.
And you'll be healthy, right? That's why I can promise it. Is that my microphone doing that? I think so. Please, sir.
Check.
Thought about it. Thank you, Scott. Yes, so the scripture goes on and says, if you are wise, your wisdom will reward you. Huh, there you go. There's that reward. You pay less car insurance, okay? If you are a mocker, you alone will suffer. The woman's folly is loud. She's undisciplined and without knowledge. That is the foolish things. You see, it personifies wisdom and foolishness as two women here. It's a contrast here. And what it's saying is, if you want to not have wisdom, if you want to go around in ignorance and lack of knowledge, then this is what will happen. She sits at the door of her house on a seat at the highest point of the city, calling out to those who pass by, who go straight on their way. Now, remember, the wisdom called out the same way. Okay, it's the contrast here. Wisdom called out the same way. It said, come and eat at my table. Folly calls out and says to those who pass by, let all who are simple come in here. She says to those who lack judgment, stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious. So what she's saying is, look, I've stolen some stuff. Would you like to have some? This is not mine. I didn't work for it. I didn't do anything to make this happen. Will you come into my house and drink more foolishness, is what she's saying, and eat more foolishness? But little do they know that the dead are there and her guests are in the depths of the grave. In other words, foolishness leads us to do really dumb things. It really does. Lack of knowledge, lack of understanding leads us to do really dumb things. And we all learn at different paces. We all learn at different stages of life. You don't hand the car keys to your five-year-old, right? You might get him a training wheel, a bicycle with training wheels on it, right? And say, start here. Or you get one of those little trikes. Those things are so cool. I wish they were around, had been around when I was a child. You know, the three-wheelers with the big wheel on the front of it. You know what I'm talking about? Big wheel, man, those things are awesome. You know what I'm saying? I didn't have one. But anyway, what I did have was one of those metal cars that had little pedals in the bottom of it, and you pedaled. Anybody remember those besides me? Three people are over the age of 50. Great. Anyway, I digress. But at the appropriate age and stage, you can learn things. You can teach a 15 or 16-year-old how to drive a car. It will drive you crazy. You'll pull out all of your hair. Do I have a witness on that? Okay. You'll get insurance, too. You'll understand what insurance really is for somebody under 25 years old, right? But you would never give a 13-year-old your car keys. You'll never give Alexis your car keys, right? Did I just say that out loud? Somebody had a birthday yesterday. Today, I'm sorry. And she's turning 13 today. And I won't point her out, but she's sitting back there on the back. Can I get a hand wave? There you go.
Happy birthday.
Now, we also had somebody that turned 21 yesterday, but I won't point out and embarrass her because I don't know her that well. But we'll say happy birthday to her, too. Happy birthday. Yeah. Only at Rock Springs Church do you get happy birthdays in the middle of a sermon. All right, so here's the message this morning. I noticed in verse 1 where it says, wisdom has built her house, and she carved out 7 pillars. An average house back in the day would have 3 pillars down the middle of to support the ceiling. A mansion would have 12 pillars. And so a medium-sized house would have 7 pillars. So apparently this person is talking about had a really nice house that she had taken great care of and taken great care in making. And she carved out 7 pillars to hold up the roof and everything to make it work right. And she built her house on 7 pillars. Now let me ask you a question. What are you building your house on? What 7 pillars are you building your house on? Are you building your house on the housewives of New Jersey? Are you building on that concept? That may be your favorite program. I'm sorry if I just hurt your feelings, but you can't build a house on that. You can't build a house on, well, much of what you see on TV. So what do we build our house on? I've got 7 things for you that I see in the life of wisdom here in the first few verses, and you can jot these down if you want to. 7 pillars, and the first pillar that I see is just plain hard work. Look at wisdom. She took the time to create 7 pillars. Now we're talking something maybe 8 feet tall, and you know she carved it out, and she took time. That's just plain hard work. I fear that we in America have gotten away from hard work. We want to hire somebody else to do our hard work, right? Now, that may be spiritual as well. And so we want to hire the preacher out to do our hard work for us. I know I'm going to meddling here, but it's 20 minutes till, so I got time to meddle a little bit, and you'll forgive me. But we want to come to church, and we want the preacher to tell us what's in our Bible instead of us doing the hard work at home, finding out what's in the Bible. Right? Can I get a witness on that? Or oh me. Amen or oh me. Right? We'll spend more time reading our favorite novel, our favorite author in a book than we do reading the Bible. And I'm not trying to give you condemnation here. I'm just saying that if you're going to build a house, it needs to be built on the Word of God. Anything else is going to crumble. It's just going to fall flat on its face. It's not healthy for us. It's not good for society. Not good for the family, it's not good for the church if we're building our house on something other than the Word of God. You say, well, Jim, I hadn't been to seminary. Neither did Peter, Paul, James, John, Bartholomew, all the rest of them. They hadn't been to seminary either. Matter of fact, the Bible says, in one place it calls them, they were ignorant fishermen. That's not a good term, by the way, back in the day, to be called an ignorant fisherman. But yet they knew the Word of God because they listened to Jesus speak to them. You know, it's hard work to read the Bible. It is hard work. But take one verse at a time. Matter of fact, take one verse all year long. If that's all you got time for in your busy life, just pick one verse and learn everything you can about that one verse or one chapter, whatever you got time for. It's hard work. It's also hard work sitting still and listening to God speak to you. But wisdom builds its house on hard work, working hard. And we need to work hard to listen to God. We need to work hard in reading our Bible. We need to work hard at telling other people about Jesus. It's hard work. At our 9 o'clock meeting this morning, we talked about this, about how Christians have really become lazy in their work for the Lord. We really have. We don't pray much. We don't read our Bible much. We don't witness much. We really become lazy. We'd rather hire somebody else to do it. And that's not God's plan. His plan is for all of us to work hard. So the first thing I see about wisdom building our house is hard work. And for us spiritually to build our spiritual house, it's hard work. It takes work. The second thing I see is it takes integrity. She did her work in view of everybody. It says so right here. It says on the top of the hill where everybody could see what she was doing, she did her work. She didn't do her work in darkness. She didn't hide what she was doing. She said, this is what I'm doing. You can come look at my work. I'm a person of integrity. You will know what I'm doing. You can ask me any question you want to. You can watch me 24/7. Do we live our lives with that kind of integrity? Do we invite people into our lives and say, watch what I do, it matches what I say? Do we live that kind of life? If we're going to build a house, we've got to build it with integrity, whether we're at work, whether we're at home, or whether we're by ourselves and no one's looking. Right? We must build our house with integrity. What you see today is what you'll see tomorrow, is what you'll see the next day. That's what God calls us to build our house on these seven pillars, is integrity. The third thing, she built her house on the pillar of love. She looked and said, all of you who are simple, come in. She looked at him with love and said, somebody has got to address this issue. There's a need here. Someone's got to address it. Now, I don't know if you noticed when you walked in the big pile over here. I just wish we had a few more bags of clothes. That's awesome. That is pure love. And those bags is pure love. It's your love and other people in our community who are bringing these. But it's your love that said, I see a need, and the love of God wells up within me. I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to go to my closet. I'm going to find something that I'm not wearing, and I'm going to put it in a bag, and I'm going to take it up and put it in a pile over here. And this coming week, we're going to give it away at 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock still. Yeah. We're going to give it away. That's pure love. That's hard work, and it's pure love. We must build our house on love. You know, we talked about this before. Love is a verb. Somebody sent me the link to that song. And I saw the song again for the first time in a long, long time. And love is a verb. Love is not a noun. It's an action. If you really love somebody, you're constantly taking action to show them that you love them. You're constantly pouring it out. It's 24/7. It's not this week or next week or next year I'll show them I love them. It's 24/7. If you love somebody, you're constantly showing or telling them. You know, it's a demonstration. Love is a demonstration. The fourth pillar I see here is generosity. Generosity. Any of you who lack something, she said, if you lack this, come eat at my table. Come eat my meat. Come eat my bread. Come drink my wine. Come. Look at the generosity overflowing. And, you know, generosity, I think, is also one of those things in America that seems to be lacking. We live in a me society, and we live in a selfie society where it's all about me. Look at me. Take a picture of me. Take several pictures of me, matter of fact, and post them on Instagram or Twitter or Facebook, wherever you post that stuff. But be sure to show off me. And that's the kind of society we live in. I don't see a lot of generosity out there. But wisdom builds its house on the pillar of generosity, being generous with your time, being generous with the gift that you have or the talent that you have, being generous with your money, whatever it may be that you have that you can give away, be generous with it. And we as Christians are called to be more generous than anybody. I know I've told you this before, but if you're out to eat and you tell somebody or you invite somebody to Rock Springs Church and you don't leave a 20% tip, please don't mention Rock Springs Church. Okay? Name some other church. You know, call out the Methodist Church or the Episcopal Church or somebody. Say, I go to the Methodist Church over here and leave them a quarter on the table, right? For those of you listening on this later on the podcast, I didn't really mean that. But anyway, if you invite somebody to Rock Springs Church, right, and leave a 20% tip, be generous. Be generous. These people make $3 an hour and plus tips. You know, we ought to be generous. If you do something in the name of Jesus, make sure it's done with generosity, whatever it is. Wherever you go, whoever you help, if you help them in the name of Jesus, make sure it's generous. The fifth thing I see here is she had compassion for them. She had compassion. She saw that they were hungry. She saw they had no food, and she offered it. You know, in John chapter 7, verse 37, Jesus says, if any one of you is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. and springs of living water will well up within him. He's talking about the Holy Spirit there, of course. But we find wisdom building her house on this compassion. You know, you see it several times in the Bible where Jesus was moved with compassion before he healed someone. And I think we all need to be moved with compassion. And when we're moved with compassion, God does amazing things. When you are moved with compassion towards someone, no matter what their need is, God does amazing things. And somehow this woman was able to feed a city of people who were hungry because of this compassion that she had. God multiplied it, just like he multiplied the bread and the fish. He will multiply in your life whatever you're offering someone if it's offered with compassion, this compassion for people. The sixth pillar that I see is the pillar of truth, the pillar of truth. The Bible says in the Old Testament, it says, truth has stumbled in the street. Have you ever lived in a time where truth has stumbled in the street, in the time that we live in now? You read the news, right? You see what's going on from our president all the way down to anybody involved in politics, to people in our school systems, to people in banking systems. You name it. Name a system. Church. You name it. And we find that truth has stumbled in the street. I mean, it's preachers. You know, it's politicians. It's everything. It's plumbers. It's painters. All the P words we could name. It's truth has stumbled in the street. Right? What was that? Parents. Ouch. Truth has stumbled in the street. We as believers need to set the record straight. We need to be truth tellers and truth doers. And the only place we're going to find the truth is here. Right? You're not going to find it on TV. You're not going to find it on reality TV. I'm not just down on reality TV. I'm just using that as an example. But you're not going to find truth there. Okay? You're going to find a lie. And it smells like smoke. It's from the pit of hell. And we're going to build a society on that. That's what we're trying to do, is build a society on things that are not true. But they're truths. She built her house on the pillar of truth, and it will stand. She said, leave your simple ways. I will show you the truth. And that's what Jesus said in John chapter 7. He said, springs of living water will flow within you, and you will know the truth, and the truth will put you in bondage. What does it say? Set you free. Oh, that's what your version says, huh? Right? We oftentimes think that the Bible is going to put us in bondage, but it really sets us free. Well, if I got to live up to all that, I can't do that. No, the Bible sets us free. The Holy Spirit sets us free. He sets you free. He lives to set you free from all the bondage and baggage that you have in your life, all the wounds and scars that you have. He wants to set you free. He wants to heal that and set you free. And then the last pillar, the seventh pillar, is what the book of Proverbs is all about, and that is wisdom. She built her house on wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. That is, it says, walk in the way, walk in this way, and that is the way that God has planned for us. God wants your household, your home, your family, this church family. He wants it to be built on knowledge and understanding and wisdom. And Paul wrote over there in Ephesians that he would pray that we would have knowledge and understanding and wisdom of the love of God, that the love that God has for us, that we would be transformed into his image. God wants us to build our homes on wisdom. Dads, how are you doing with that? Are you teaching your children wisdom, understanding, and knowledge from here? One verse at a time, one verse a week or a year. How are you doing that, dads? Moms, how are you doing with that? Are you teaching your kids wisdom, or are you teaching them folly? That's the question we ask. How are we doing raising up our homes? How are we doing with that? Are we teaching the wisdom from the Bible, the wisdom from the world? Well, it comes with a promise, and it says, long life will be with you. Your days will be many. Years will be added to your life. So, as we've said before, if you want to live long and prosper, if you want to live long and prosper, it's right here. It's right here. It'll keep you from harm. It'll keep others from harm. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for
the book of Proverbs. Some great insight straight from your heart to our hearts. Father, we as a church family, a church home, Father, we want to build this church on these seven pillars. And so, Father, I pray that you would lead me, that I would build this church on these seven pillars. And I pray that you would lead us to build this church on these seven pillars. And, Father, I pray for all the homes here that are represented. So many households represented this morning. And I pray, Father, that we would all want to build our home on these seven pillars of truth. Holy Spirit, come help us do that. We're weak at times. We're all prone to folly at times. None of us is a genius in this. None of us knows it all. But Holy Spirit, you do. So please come help us. Teach us, guide us, give us instruction. Help us to be as wise as we can possibly be in this life. Give us understanding, wisdom, and knowledge that it might bring glory to you. For it's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.